Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
Well, good morning, CSL Midtown. How are you? Awesome, awesome. John's song made me cry. I'm trying to get myself together here. I have been wanting him to be here and to play that song for a really long time. So let me gather myself. Let me start all over. Good morning, CSL Midtown.
Good morning.
Yes, I'd like to thank you for being here and to let you know that your presence is truly a gift. It is always such an honor for me to be here and for me to share, and I'm looking forward to that today. I'd like to start with John and say that the moment I was invited to become a regular speaker here in April, I just saw you here playing, and I have had that vision, and I'm so happy that we can make it happen today. You are a sought-after musician, obviously, and so it took us a minute to get you here, but I'm glad you could be here. Kathy, your wife and manager, thank you so much, because we worked together as a team to make sure that everything, all the particulars got worked out. She's very responsive. I'm sure you love her for that. She gets you everything you need when you need it, so I want to thank you. I had the pleasure of meeting John at his album release party last year at Sinister Spiritual Living Trinity. And when I was there, I was so taken aback by his music. The best way to describe his music, in my opinion, is that it's soul-stirring and it has so much integrity. What I feel when I hear your music is your connection with Source. And by me feeling that and hearing that in your music, it helps me to feel that also. So I just want to thank you for standing in your truth and being that musician. Really appreciate you. John has a table out front, so please be sure you support his art. You will love his CD. I tell you, you're going to need one for the house. You're going to need one for the car. And you're going to need one for a friend. Yes, so thank you. Let's give him another round of applause. Today, I dedicate my talk to a very dear friend, Scotchy Cochran. Some of you know who Scotchy is, and the last time I spoke in July, he was actually the practitioner on platform. He made his transition about 4 or 5 weeks ago in his sleep while his wife was away visiting her children in another state. What a way to go. Scotchy and I have known each other for a really long time. He is he was a fellow practitioner, also a minister. And I also had the pleasure of working with him, because he hired my company to come in and do advanced sales training for his team. He was a real estate broker, and his team was called the Key Professionals. And for anybody who knew Scotchy, he was always in a suit and tie. He always looked like he had it together. I always enjoyed being around him, and I really appreciate him for the person that he was, and more thankful that I had the opportunity to know him. He was 76 years old. We worked together about 2 years ago. He hired me in September of 2014. And he said, the morning I got there, he said, "Good morning." I said, "Good morning." And he said, "Are you familiar with the Magnificent Seven?" And I said, "You never knew when he was telling a joke." And I said, "I can't say that I am familiar with the Magnificent Seven. Was that some band you were in like many, many years ago?" And he looked at me, and he smiled, and he handed me this book, The Power of Awareness by Neville Goddard. And then he had this thing where he would get really serious on you and lift his left eyebrow, so you had to lean in to hear what he was saying. And he said, the Magnificent Seven, a man's consciousness is all that he thinks, desires, loves, believes is true, consents to, assumes, and believes is true for him. And I said, really, the Magnificent Seven? A man's consciousness is all that he thinks, desires, loves, believes is true, consents to, assumes, and expects. And he said, and don't you ever forget it. And I said, you know what, Scotchy? I will never forget the Magnificent Seven. He said, welcome aboard. And I said, thank you. So this one's for Scotchy. So I have a question for you this morning. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. That's right. Let's do better than that. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. That's the way I want to hear it. That's one of the ways that I check in with myself to make sure that I'm aware that I'm happy. You see, as children, we have the luxury of just focusing on being happy. It's our only goal when we're a child to be happy. We think about what we want to eat. We think about us sleeping. We think about us having what we want. And it's our sole focus to be happy. But what happens when we get older is we start to have a lot of other things that are presented to us, and so our attention goes to other things. One of those things is we tend to focus on our needs. How many people can say, I got needs? We got needs. We need a job. We need a car. We need money. We need relationship. There are all these things that we give our attention to instead of giving our attention to being happy. So as adults, we lose sight of what really matters. Things like peace of mind, things like inner harmony, things like feeling aligned with spirit, things like our overall health and well-being. The power of awareness. The power of awareness. It has been said that awareness is the beginning of change. How many people have ever heard that? Well, I like to say that I believe that self-awareness is the way you experience that change. So there's change, and then there's awareness, and then there's self-awareness. And our ability to be aware of ourselves in a situation is how transformation happens. I want to share with you an inspirational piece that helps you to understand what I mean. It's called The Autobiography in 5 Short Chapters. Some of you may have heard it, some of you may have not. Chapter 1, I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am hopeless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to get out. Chapter 2, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in this same place. But it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it there. I still fall in. It's a habit. But my eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. Chapter 4. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5. I walk down another street. That's about how long it takes us to get a clue, right? But it helps you to understand that awareness is a process. It really is. So in chapter 1, we're walking down the street and we're unaware of anything. So we fall in the hole and it makes perfect sense because we didn't see it. But the second time, we knew the hole was there, but we still fell in. It's just what happened. So now we're aware in chapter 2. But in chapter 3, we become self-aware because we see it, we fall in, and we get out a little quicker than we did the last time. In chapter 4, we're very aware because we see the hole and we're smart enough to walk around it. But in chapter 5, we choose a whole different street. I might have moved and moved to another state. I don't know if I would have wanted to be on that same sidewalk. Awareness. So there are two things that I want to help you to be aware of today. And we're going to keep revisiting these two things. The first thing is that God is source. Say it with me. God is my source. Okay, and the second point I want to make clear to you is your awareness of God is your supply. So I want you to say, my awareness of God is my supply. First thing, God is my source.
God is my source.
My awareness of God is my supply.
My
awareness of God is my supply. Yes. And so it's very important for you to keep those two things in mind because I want you to take a moment and think about the fact that I told you earlier that we focus on our needs. So we all got needs, right? I want you to think about it right now. What need do you have in your life? Are you needing a new relationship? Are you needing a new car? Maybe you need a new job. Maybe you need better health, peace of mind, greater success. It can be anything, whatever it is that you think you need. Now, how many of you have ever been told or recall being told that God is your supply? I remember that. And I also remember being told that God would supply my needs. Have you ever heard that before? Well, you know, I grew up in the church. My mother was an assistant pastor, so I heard that a lot. But I never could make the connection until recently. I had this epiphany, and it occurred to me that God cannot meet my needs. God cannot meet our needs. Do you know why? God cannot meet our needs because the idea of a need is incomprehensible to God. That doesn't even make any sense because God would have to not be God for you to be admitting that you have a need, right? I thought, well, look at there. I could have had a V8 because at the end of the day, I'm over 40. Let's just say that. And I've been floating around thinking that God was going to supply my needs only to learn that that is not the truth. As far as God is concerned, I don't have a need. How about that? Doesn't that make you get quiet, right? Spiritual awareness reveals to us that God does not act through needs. It can't. There's no way that it can. So while you believe that your needs are so important, I would advise you to give your attention to God, to become aware of God. Because in you becoming aware of God, what happens is your needs will automatically get met. Duh, right? So you deserve what you desire. But you know why it doesn't work? I want to tell you why that's the case. There's a universal law that says what you focus on expands. Many of you have heard what you think about, you bring about. Where your attention goes, energy flows. So this is the reason that if you focus on a need, then you're going to get nothing more than more need. If you focus on lack, you're going to get nothing more than more lack. So it would behoove you and me to start giving our attention to where it belongs, and that is to God, to become aware of God. When God created the universe, you have to believe that it put everything that we needed here. Otherwise, it wouldn't be God. Really? Right? So there was a modern mystic by the name of Joel Goldsmith who put it like this. What God can do, God is already doing. Ain't that something? So we got nerve to be asking God for anything. I was talking to a client one day last week, and I said, you know, if I sent my child to school with a backpack, and in the backpack was a notebook, a pen, and a box of crayons, and the child called me at like 10 o'clock and said, Mom, I need you to come to the school because I need a notebook, a pen, and a box of crayons. And I say, go back to your classroom and look in your backpack because I gave it to you already. The kid calls me after lunch and says, Mom, you didn't come. I was waiting on you. I need a notebook, a pen, and a box of crayons. So I'm on the phone like, huh? What are you saying? This is what God is doing. You know, it's like you coming to me saying you need a job, you need a relationship, you need some money. Really? I have given you everything you need already before you even knew that you thought that you would even have, before you ever came here. Think about that. Isn't that good? It really is. I call it the backpack of life. We came here with everything we need, like going on a camping trip. And then we got the nerve to be asking for something that we already have in the backpack. Check your backpack. God is my source, and my awareness of God is my supply. So where are we falling short? We're kind of not doing the awareness part. So we're going to go a little bit deeper. When you have an awareness of God, you will learn the nature of God. Does that make sense? If you have an awareness of God, then you'll learn the nature of God. So begs the question, do you know the nature of God? That becomes the question. How many of us really know the nature of God? Because we say we understand, but do you know the nature of this thing we call spirit, this thing we call higher power, infinite intelligence, creator of all? Do we really understand the nature of it? I believe that if we truly knew the nature of God, then we would know the nature of ourselves. And if you know the nature of yourself, there's no way you can ever think that you can't have what you want, right? And so the next thing that comes to mind is when your knowledge of God limits you, you don't have the right knowledge of God. Let me say that again. When your knowledge of God limits you, you don't have the right knowledge of God, right? Because we said God was unlimited. We walk around saying that God is total abundance. We even say that God is pure intelligence, the creator of all. So how can it be that God can be that's the nature of God, but it's not our nature? When we truly understand the nature of God, we have no business believing for a millisecond that we can't have what we want. It doesn't make sense. Think about it. Well, clearly I've been thinking about it. And I always say, well, if you can't get there, just walk outside this building and take a look at the vast blue sky. It spans as far as your eye can see. Go take a look at any ocean, and it is as far as your eye can see. Go outside and try to count the blades of grass that are outside this building and let me know what you come up with. And what you'll learn is the nature of God. And as you learn the nature of God, then you start to come in contact with the nature of yourself, and then you walk a little taller. And then you feel a little more excited about life, about love, about money, about people. And about a whole lot of other things that we see going on in the world. So how do you practice in having an awareness of God? I'll tell you how. Begin to see God in everything, everywhere, in everybody, all the time. I'm talking about all the time. I don't care what you see on the news. Not sure what you're seeing on social media, but God is always God, and that doesn't change. So if we can heighten our awareness of God, then we can have a true understanding of what's possible for this world and for ourselves individually. Allow God to permeate your being. Feel it through and through. In today's world, we have an awareness of so many things, right? So I'm talking about the power of awareness. In this world, we have Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We have Domestic Violence Awareness. We have Alzheimer's Awareness. We have Autism Awareness. Lupus Awareness. There's awareness everywhere you look. And there's no problem with you giving to things like that. But the thing to understand is that what you give your awareness to can also bring it into your experience. That's number one. And the other thing is we have a heavy awareness of those things and a zero awareness of God. And that's not going to work. Because if you walk around being completely aware of all these other things that are happening outside of you, then you lose the ability to be able to understand your awareness in God. And that takes it all, because we're talking about God, right? What are we aware of? What are we giving our attention to? That's what I want to know. We've got to be willing to give our attention and our awareness to God. So one day I was in an elevator. It was like the beginning of August. And this beautiful woman walked in. She was probably in her late 70s, early 80s, and she was just a beautiful elderly woman. And I said, "Good afternoon, how are you?" And she said, "Not too well." And I said, "Oh, what's going on?" And she said, "Well, it's summer, and I'm really hoping that I won't get stung by a mosquito because I really don't want the Zika virus." And I thought, well, that was random. But you know, on another note, it really wasn't. Because as far as she's concerned, that's where her awareness is. Why? Because it was right before the Olympics, and the news media was really talking about the Zika virus, the Zika virus, the Zika virus. And so she became aware of that, and she couldn't think about anything else but that. And I thought, you know what, ma'am, you'll be okay. You really are going to be okay. I promise you. But I thought about it. You know, this is the things that we have in our consciousness instead of having a consciousness of God. When you have a consciousness of God, then nothing else matters. And I know it may sound like I'm beating a dead horse, but I'm really putting it in there because I want you to understand that we're not giving our attention to the things that we need to give our attention to, and that's God. It's not your needs. You have your needs on this side, and you have God on this side. So if you go this way, you're going to end up seeing nothing but needs. If you go this way, you're going to see nothing but God. And when you see nothing but God, then your needs are automatically diminished. They really don't exist. You know that, right? But that's another day, another talk. How many of you ever heard seek? Right? Seek and ye shall find. Ask and it is given. Knock and the door is opened. Well, for a long time, I think I've been asking for stuff and seeking answers. But the deal is we're supposed to be seeking God. We're supposed to be asking for God. We're supposed to be knocking for God, because that's what you knock for. That's what you seek. That's what you ask for. And when you ask for that, everything else is taken care of. Does that make sense? Yes. Absolutely. We walk around saying that God is all-knowing and God is all-knowledge. And it really does sound good. But at the end of the day, then why are you telling God about your needs? Because clearly God already knows if it's all-knowing, right? And I know this seems like a lot of obvious information, but when you really get quiet and think about it, you realize that, wow, I could have had a V8 because it's been right here all the time. This morning, there are churches, synagogues, mosques, and temples that are filled with people that say that they believe in God. What I think, and I'd love to take a percentage on this, is that people believe in the concept of God. You know, it sounds good. You read a book and they tell you about their experience with God. And so we're getting our concept of God from the things we're reading, from the people that we hear saying different things. We're even getting it from Super Soul Sunday, for crying out loud. You know, we are operating with God as if it's a third party. We have a temp agency relationship with the Most High. And I think that's just like, why would you do that? We're talking about God. Some of us are getting to know God through Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat, right? Seriously. They're like, look at that quote. And that quote is all right as long as you, if you have your own understanding. Does that make sense? Yeah, it does make sense. I thought about it. I've been thinking about this for a while. Think about this. God is closer than the air we breathe. But we don't have time for God. That's what's interesting. But we wake up and Facebook is the first thing we look at. Yeah, that's the world we live in. People are scrolling and walking a dog and scrolling and got their baby. And it's just, I'm just so amazed some days I just pay attention to what people are paying attention to. And that's why we have this decreased awareness in God and an increased awareness in fear. And the fear encompasses violence, addiction, hunger, mental illness. It's interesting to me how people like, oh, I'm bipolar. Is that like a new, people like to say what they are. Where'd you get that from? Really? Well, maybe he's bipolar. Maybe he's just not thinking. Maybe he's forgotten and he's not in touch with Source. How about that? We have just surrendered to depression like it's the new purse or something. Well, he's just suffering with depression. Really? The end of the day, it's important for us to give our attention to Source. So think about it. Would you not be excited if you had an opportunity to have a sit-down talk with Warren Buffett or Bill Gates or Oprah Winfrey? You'd be excited. You'd be calling people. Guess who I'm going to be having lunch with? Well, you can have lunch with God every day, 24/7, but you don't have time. Seriously. It's the truth. I mean, I'd be calling everybody saying, Oprah, I'm going to be on Super Soul Sunday. But you have the opportunity to have a meeting with God. Think about it. God is God that created the moon and the stars and the sun and you. Oh, my goodness. It's something to think about. I get excited when I think about it. One day what I did was I decided that I would set a timer on my phone and I would meet with God intimately 4 times a day for a week. I did this for a week. So I put the timer and I treated it like it was a client. Because you know when a client calls, you're always responsive. And I did that and it'd be a certain time and I'd go to my office and sit where my spot is, my God spot. And we would just commune and I'm like, this is so awesome. Really? I mean, I had more time in my day. So many magical things happen. Because I made a decision to increase my awareness of God. I did a 40-day challenge, actually. Started on July 31st. And I decided I would increase my awareness of God and see what happened. Phone's been ringing off the hook with new clients. Opportunities abound. So many things have happened because I stopped looking over here at my needs and I started looking to God. See, if you go the direction of God, you're going to get your needs met anyway. And you're going to understand the nature of God. And you're going to understand the nature of yourself. It can't get no better than that, right? I don't think so. Neville Goddard said it this way: nothing has existence for you except through the consciousness you have of it. Isn't that something? Nothing has existence for you except through the consciousness you have of it. So if you don't have a consciousness of God, then guess what? Think about that. He went on to say that you know a thing mentally by looking at it from the outside, by analyzing it, by defining it, whereas you can know a thing spiritually only by becoming it. You must be the thing itself and not merely talk about it or look at it. So all this stuff you're looking at that tells you who God is, stop it. Go ahead and get to know God for yourself. You can't look at it from the outside and figure it out. You just can't. You're going to have to get in there, roll up your sleeves, and develop a good quality loving relationship with the Most High. It's the Most High. Why would you not want to hang out with God? I know I do. And so I'm going to give you three ways to make this information live in your life. You know it was coming, right? As a life coach, I always got to leave you with something. So the first thing I want you to do to make this information live in your life is to become aware of your thoughts. I really want you to become aware of your thoughts, all of them, not the ones you tell people, but the ones that you really have. And once you become aware of those thoughts, I want you to walk down a different street, because you might need to. Today is a perfect day to get rid of your stinking thinking. The Bible says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And then Ernest Holmes said, our thoughts are creative and it is done unto us as we believe. So it would behoove you to clean up your thoughts, right? I was having lunch with a dear friend who's here today, Janet. And we were talking, we were at Ponce City Market, and we both were saying a lot of things about a lot of things. I won't go into detail, but one of the things that we said that I loved, and Janet said it, I said, oh, that is so good. I said, I got to write that down. There's only one thing wrong with you. You know what it is? You think there's something wrong with you. There's only one thing wrong with you. You think there's something wrong with you. Isn't that good? Oh, that's real good. Get rid of that thought. Be willing to give up what you think you know to create something new. Be willing to give up what you think you know because it's keeping you stuck. Yes, you are smart, you are intelligent, you are brilliant, but you still may have some limiting thoughts that are keeping you right where you are. Part of the problem with people who think a lot is they think they know so much, right? I'm in that group. I'm not pointing the finger. Trust me. I am in that group. The second thing you can do is to become aware of your internal dialogue. And when you become aware of your internal dialogue, I want you to walk down another street because it's a deep hole in the sidewalk. You know what's interesting about communities like ours is we are so skilled at how to speak. We know how to affirm and how to say things eloquently. But I wonder what you say to yourself when you're by yourself. That's the real conversation that the universe is listening to. Not the conversation you had with somebody of like minds, right? We disguise and hide behind that. What are you saying to yourself when you talk to yourself? Are you criticizing yourself? Are you judging yourself? Are you being impatient with yourself? Or do you talk to yourself respectfully and lovingly? Do you encourage yourself or do you put yourself down in the quiet of your mind? What is it that you are saying to yourself? Are you negative with yourself? The reason I want to know is that as within, so without. and your inner world creates your outer world. So you can't fool Mother Nature. You can't fool God. Whatever it is you think and hear is going to show up in your life. The third thing that you can do is become aware of your internal pictures. What images do you have in your mind? You know, your imagination is the instrument by which you create your world. And, you know, we all have imagery going on in our minds. Do you see yourself gaining weight or losing weight? Sometimes I see people say, oh, I don't want to look like that. And then they end up looking like that. You know why? Because they gave it their attention. They're so focused on not getting that big that they're getting that big. It's how it is. What else are you seeing in your mind? Are you seeing yourself failing or succeeding? Are you seeing your bank account expand or shrink? What are you seeing? Oh, I hope my balance isn't that. And you're like, holy smokes, that's what it is. Albert Einstein said it like this: imagination is greater than knowledge. And it is, because things live in our minds based on what we can see. So the question you might have to ask yourself based on those three things that I just mentioned, and it's better to ask yourself these questions when you're not having such a great day, because when you're having a great day, you tell yourself a lot of things. But it's on those days when you're in the quiet of your own space in your own home that you kind of have, you know, you kind of start beating up on yourself. And so the question to ask yourself is, what am I thinking about myself within myself? What am I thinking about myself within myself? What am I saying about myself within myself? What am I seeing about myself within myself? Did you get that? What am I thinking about myself within myself? What am I saying about myself within myself? What am I seeing about myself within myself? And the reason I say that is because we have so many outer distractions that you're not even paying attention to what you're saying to yourself. You're just not. We're on autopilot, floating through life, waking up but still asleep. You know how when you wake up, you're still kind of groggy, you're not quite focused? We're having an awakening here. And so we're not quite there. But it's always good to tap in and see what you're thinking about yourself. And I can tell you this, if you get along with God, then you'll find out real quick what you're thinking. And when you find out what you're thinking, your thinking will be increased. Your consciousness will be raised. Because if you truly understand the nature of God, then you'll start to understand the nature of yourself, and all of your heart's desires will always, always, always be met. It's just the way it is. You know, for the last 40 days or more, maybe 50, 60, I've just been saying, God is my source. And my awareness of God is my supply. God is my source. And my awareness of God is my supply. I want you to remember that and to think about it, to give some deep thought about it. Because what I can promise you is, if you do and when you do, what will happen for you in your life, you will be completely transformed. Your relationships will be increased. Your money will be increased. Your experiences will be increased. It's all going to increase because, why wouldn't it? Let's give our awareness to God and see what happens. I'll finish up by reminding you what Scotchy Cochran told me. He said, are you familiar with the Magnificent Seven? and he raised his left eyebrow. And then he leaned in. He used to have that serious, serious look. A man's consciousness is all that he thinks, desires, loves, believes is true, consents to, assumes, and expects. That's your consciousness. This one was for you, Scotchy. I am complete. Let us pray. I now invite you to get comfortable in your seat. And to just breathe. Take a deep cleansing breath. And as you do, let's just think about the message that has been given here today. It was a message about transformation, a message about transformation through awareness. As we sit, as we think, as we reflect, let us know this, that there is only one power, one source, and it is God. It is ever present. It is omniscient and it is omnipotent. Let us recognize that in this moment, we know that God is God. And we acknowledge God as the all source, knowing that out of it, all things are. We also acknowledge our connection with this source. We understand that it is all that we are. It is all of who I am. I am always, always, always connected to this source that is life-giving, this source that prospers, this source that is abundance, this source that is intelligence, this source that is love. And I am so grateful for my connection, and better yet, my awareness of my connection to this source. This day, I affirm that I have an increased and ever-increasing awareness of God, and my awareness of spirit lifts me, and it allows me to have the best experience in life that I can imagine. Yes, today, my needs are dissolved. They are not an entity of themselves. What I know for sure is that my awareness of God takes care of anything that I even believe in my limited consciousness is a need. And so, in this moment, I am truly grateful and very thankful for the message today, to be reminded of who God is and who I am in God. With gratitude and thanksgiving and a heart full of love, I open myself and my experience to know God in a greater way. I release my words, knowing this is the truth for me and all that are here with me today. Together, we agree, knowing this is so, and we say, and so it is.